Listen now to the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem as the time of his death approaches. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. When he'd looked around at everything, it was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. A word of God that is still speaking. Thanks be to God. Give me just a sec here. Had kind of a busy morning meeting with our confirmation class, and a couple things I didn't quite get set up for worship today. Okay. Well, if you've grown up in the church, I'm betting you have heard the story I just read before for as many years as you are young. I don't think I've ever been in a church where this story was not read on Palm Sunday. You might have been one of those children carrying palm branches and walking around the church yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," as you reenact the story. It's a powerful story, but more powerful than I think we ever realized when we were children. The gospel tells us that people took these branches and the coats they were wearing, and they carpeted the road before Jesus so that Jesus and his colt that he was on would not have to touch the dirt of the earth. In a way, that act of those people tells us everything we need to know about who they thought Jesus was. Who is Jesus? It's a question that weaves through the Gospel of Mark in different ways. In fact, Jesus actually asks his disciples at one point, "Who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am?" And so that's a question I want you to think about today is, who is Jesus? Today we are baptizing a child and a youth. We are welcoming new members into our church, and the very first question I will ask them is, who is your Lord and Savior? And I trust we all know this because we're in a church. If you don't know the answer is always Jesus Christ. Who is your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ is what we're looking for. But I think that if we were really to take the question seriously, we would turn it around and ask, who is Jesus Christ to you? Those first century parade goers knew who Jesus Christ was to them. We know that because they put the branches and their coats on the road in front of him. Here's your Greek lesson for the day. Mark says they spread their coats and branches on the ground, and the word he uses is strenoumi, which is not the word normally used for spreading something on the ground. It means spreading covers on a couch, which is how first century worshipers honored the Roman gods. It is how they placated the Roman gods. They built up their egos. Especially in a time of crisis, it was a way of saying to their gods, "We honor you, we revere you, please help us." That's what it meant. So they would spread fine clothes on couches and then move the couches into the streets to make the gods feel welcome and to placate them. It became a habit also that they would do that when a conquering hero or someone else had conquered their community and come into their town. They would put their finest coats on their couches. They would move their couches out into the streets as a way of saying, we honor you and we welcome you, and sometimes, please don't kill us, because it was a conquering hero. So the most common answer to who is Jesus Christ for a lot of Christians is not that Jesus is a conquering hero, but Jesus is my friend. I bet if I were to ask this congregation, that I'd probably hear that from at least a third of you, if not more. Jesus is my friend. But on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was not anybody's friend. That crowd was letting him know that to them, he was a powerful representative of God come to overthrow the Romans, to fix all unjust laws, to give those with no power, i.e. themselves, power over their own lives. Jesus was the conquering God who would fix everything that was wrong with the world, from politics right on down. Kind of sounds appealing, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like something that we might hope for God to come in like a conquering hero and fix everything that's wrong with the world. But of course, that's not who Jesus was. That was what they expected. That was what they wanted. But what they got was a Savior who refused to challenge Pilate because, as he said, his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus wasn't overthrowing anyone. He was showing us how to live with one foot in this imperfect world and one foot in the realm of God. So no, he didn't overthrow the Romans, and he didn't fix even one unjust law. Rather, he showed us how to live with compassion in a world full of people who really needed compassion. He showed us how to forgive even when it's hard. He showed us what it means to be in community with each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he showed us how to connect with God even when we're too busy to connect with God. And he showed us how to die in order to live. What would a parade look like for that kind of a Savior? Maybe instead of people throwing their coats under his feet, under the feet of a God who would do everything for them, maybe they wouldn't be there at all. Maybe there would be no parade on Palm Sunday, because we'd be out busy caring for the sick. We would be out standing up for those who need strength. We would be having hard but grace-filled conversations. We would be inviting people into a new community, a community of love and care where we lift each other up. We would be praying, spending time with God, and we would be daily dying to those, to the ways of this world, to selfishness, win at all costs, blindness to the consequences of our actions on those we don't see. We would be living in the kingdom of God. That would be how we would be. I don't think we would be at a parade welcoming a conquering hero. So I was thinking about that question. Who is Jesus Christ to me? And I hope you're thinking about who is Jesus Christ to you. When you hear this story, who do you really need Jesus to be as he walks into your life? So I was thinking about that for myself, and to me the word friend doesn't even come close. It just doesn't work for me. I know it does for a lot of people. Each of us will need something different from Jesus. But to me, Jesus is my strength. He is my support. He is my teacher. He's the one who has stood with me during the most difficult times of my life, and he was the one who spoke to me when I was trying to figure out what in the world to do with my life. He's the one I want to be like when I grow up. Thank you for saying that. We all want to be like him. We all should be like him when we grow up. But it also reminds me when I say that, we're all still in the process of growing, aren't we? None of us have made it. None of us have reached it. but he's the one I want to be like when I grow up. We talk about Jesus as our Lord and Savior. They're words that we don't really use in any other context than this question or this conversation about Jesus, do we? So what does it mean to say he is my Savior? Well, I can say he is my Savior, not because I'm worried about where I'm going to go when I die. That's gravy on the meatloaf. That's icing on the cake. He's my Savior because he teaches me how to live and find joy right now in the midst of whatever's going on in my life. He's my Savior because he helps me find that place of abundance in a world that preaches scarcity. And he is my Lord, not because I'm afraid of him, not because he holds power over me or has authority over me. He's my Lord because he is the only one worthy of my allegiance, because his power is love. So when I say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that's what it means to me. When I ask the question, who is Jesus to me? He's all that and more. He's my strength. He's my shield. He's my teacher. He's my guide. He's my heart. And so I want you to think about, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you as we celebrate his entrance into our lives this day? I hope by the time we get to welcoming our new members and answering the baptism questions, the first one of which, remember, is who is your Lord and Savior? And the answer is, well done. I hope you know what you mean for yourself when you say that. And if you don't know what you mean, think about it as you go home. Come back next Sunday on Easter Sunday with an answer of who is Jesus to you. Amen.